Chuck, he's now the game chef, a successful restaurateur turned celebrity chef. Angelo Giorgiali has over 25 years experience in cooking with a particular passion for hunting, fishing, archery and getting out into the great outdoors. His work as a volunteer fish and game ranger and putting lunch together for his colleagues inspired him to write a cookbook devoted to New Zealand's wild animals. The outcome is the Fish and Game Cookbook in collaboration with the organisation of the same name. From pūkeko potato top pie to black swan schnitzel burgers and salmon fettuccine, Angelo's created a book chock full of tips and recipes to make the most of game birds, waterfowl and freshwater fish. Kia ora, Angelo. Welcome back to 9 to Noon.
Kia ora. Good morning. And it's so nice to be on your show this morning.
I still don't know about pūkeko. I'm still not even sure about the black swan. Do some people take a bit of convincing that some of these animals should be eaten? There's plenty of hunting goes on in this country, the duck hunting, the deer hunting and everything else. But do some people take a bit of convincing about a pūkeko pie?
If they try the recipe, it shouldn't be too convincing, as in, like, it should be convincing. Pūkeko is a game bird, and it is on the game bird list. Same as the black swan, and it will be good to use the animal more often, in the sense of a lot of shooters don't look upon them as a game bird, so it'll be nice to advertise the fact that they are, and they're available and extremely edible. And I was quite surprised, pleasantly surprised, how delicious the black swan and the pūkeko was.
You're a bird lover yourself, and do you ever? I know hunting is it's a passion, but do you ever have these moments where you think, do I look at it or do I shoot it and take it home for dinner? Do you ever have those moments still yourself?
Yes, especially with quail and upland game like pheasant. They're a beautiful bird. Quail are adorable birds, so they are hard to shoot, but they're delicious as well at the same time. So it is difficult sometimes, but having said that, I enjoy eating them, so I do respect birds.
Now, what's been happening in your career? We enjoyed your TV series so much, but I understand now there's going to be a new initiative happening in Dunedin. Of course, with that cooking show, we saw you in the beautiful surrounds. It's hard to think of anywhere in the world more beautiful than cooking in the outdoors of central Otago and its hills and mountains. But have you moved to the big smoke?
Yeah, my partner Skye Horton, she's going back to university to study geography and ecology, and one paper at a time. She's going to hopefully save the world, and environmentally minded there. So moving to Dunedin with Skye wasn't an easy decision, but I think it's the right decision at this point or chapter in our lives. Dunedin's a beautiful city with a lot of coastline and not too far away from central Otago as well. So access to these areas won't be too difficult to carry on my pursuits and career going forward.
Well, there's two quick routes back into central, both north and south of Dunedin City, and I'm sure they'll take a pummeling. And this is, I don't want to dwell on it, but it's another COVID story, isn't it, as well? I know that so many businesses, and particularly in that part of the world that are so dependent on the tourist visits, it's been your story as well. It's been damn hard yakka.
It has been. It's been really difficult the last couple of years for a lot of industries in New Zealand, especially the hospitality and the tourism sector. It's been a real struggle. A lot of businesses have closed and gone under, including mine. But we're hopeful, and we're definitely opportunists in looking at other fields to venture, like releasing the new cookbook. We'll hopefully there'll be some income from that. To get me back on my feet, and I'm looking at other opportunities that may come up in Dunedin or the surrounding areas. At the moment, I'm in Christchurch. We've started a tour of New Zealand, visiting 23 towns and cities around New Zealand. So we started in Dunedin a couple of days ago, and we're heading right up to Whangarei, possibly up to Kaitaia as well. We're popping into lots of fishing and hunting stores along the way, introducing ourselves, showing them the cookbooks, and making some sales and just getting out there and meeting people, because it's been a couple of years since I've been on the road, and so it'd be nice to sort of reconnect and get amongst it, really.
There's the two components to this passion. One is the hunting itself and everything that goes with it, the camaraderie when you're out with others, the primal experience of the hunt of an animal, depending on what kind of animal it is, different skills involved. And then, of course, there's the cooking itself, and it does not taste the same, does it, a farmed animal compared to a wild animal. Tell me about the love of hunting and fishing for you, and where that began, and what it means to you.
I think the prime animal thing is getting out there in nature. Experiencing nature is probably one of the best things you could possibly do for mental health as well as us as human beings. And to be out there hunting really sort of has an aspect of, bringing us back to a tribal or a sort of sustainable human. And gathering game and foraging for other things like watercress and mushrooms and so on, birds, fish, makes me feel more connected to the world and to the land and to the ocean and rivers and mountains. And I get a sense of well-being from that. I think it's really important for people to embrace nature in a big way, because at the end of the day, that's where we're from. Mother Nature takes care of the planet and takes care of us, and she knows what she's doing.
Who's done the photography for this book? This amazing photography.
Yeah, so Sally Greer, the publisher, she took most of the food photography, and Richard Cosgrove did a lot of the photographs for the fish and game, landscaping, hunting photos and so on. But both exceptional photographers in their field, as well as publishers and media with fish and game. So great photography. They've got a great eye and a sense of understanding how photos should be taken. Yeah.
When you were growing up, you were in England, I think, around London, and it's interesting, the game hunting, I imagine it varies, it does vary from country to country, but where did you develop those skills and what were you hunting there?
When I was 12 years old, I had a friend at school, a Greek boy, and his dad invited me on a hunt up in Cambridge. So we went hunting for pheasant, partridge, hare, and English wood pigeon. And we had a really successful hunt, and I shot my first partridge and a hare. And then I got the sort of like the bug for it, shall I say, and enjoyed the hunt and brought the game home to my dad, who's a chef, and he prepared the food and served it. And he was to see his face when I brought these game animals home was priceless, because he was so excited to see that I went out hunting and brought some game home. So I guess it started from there on the game front. With fishing, I started fishing at the age of 8 with a bamboo stick and some fishing line and a hook and a homemade float, I think, at the time. So I was came from a very poor family. We lost everything in a war in Cyprus. And then came to London. I was born in Scotland originally. But, it was really tough growing up. But mum and dad did a really good job with us four boys. Just grew up opposite a large park in London. And it had a lake and a river and a stream running through it, and a forest and lots of grasslands and so on. And I used to always be in there, sort of amongst it all, turning over rocks and fishing the creek with nets and little nets, catching newts and little fish, and just observing and looking. And it was, and then, bird watching at a young age as well. So yeah, that was my sort of escape, really. And then I remember at the age of 14, I'm quite badly dyslexic, so I left school at 14, and got a full-time job with my uncle, who owned a Greek delicatessen, and that was my foundation for food, really. And I used to get a wage. I used to get about £1.50 an hour, so not much. And I used to spend all my money on fishing gear and camping gear. And in the weekends, I'd jump on a train and head out to the countryside and go camping in the forest by myself at 14, and my parents were fine with it, surprisingly. But yeah, I just had the head, you know, I had a maturity and a sort of a head for nature and being out there, and I just felt a sense of well-being, and it was good.
Let's talk about some of the advice that you give here when you are out hunting and intending to cook, and that's my thing with hunting. I'm absolutely fine with it when we are here feeding ourselves and feeding others, less so with some of the big game stuff where I'm going, look, why are you shooting that? That's another whole discussion.
Absolutely.
Right? But let's talk about if we are hunting and intending to bring this home to cook, or perhaps cooking while we are out in the field, what are some of the things you need to have with you and the things you need to do to keep that food optimum?
Okay. So what I do is I have a camper trailer. Not everyone has a camper trailer, but I mean, you can if you have a backpack, and in that backpack you carry a stove, you know, and some little pots, some spices, a range of spices. You probably only need about six spices, to be fair, and those six would probably be cumin, smoked paprika, some pepper, salt, obviously, and some lemon pepper would be another good one, and well, it's all gone really, isn't it? But yeah, a range of spices is a great idea to spice the meat. You can have a handheld mincer to mince fresh meat. So for instance, last weekend we went duck shooting, and we shot some fresh ducks, and within an hour and a half I put those breasts through a mincer and combine that with one egg, a bit of breadcrumb, and a range of spices, and put them all together into patties and cook them on an open fire grill. I use a Firebrand Crucible, which is a beautiful barbecue, and I just put charcoal in there and light that up, and cooked up the burgers on that, and then serve them into a brioche bun with some slaw and some chutney that I made. And I made an orange date mustard chutney using date syrup, and had it all ready within an hour and served it up to the team while we were duck shooting. And it's sort of like, what's going to work? It's like, well, if you're going to use fresh shot meat, the best parts to eat straight away would be the heart, liver and kidneys, or you mince the meat, because the heart, liver and kidneys, you don't have to age them. They don't have to be, salted or aged or put in salt water overnight. You can eat those fresh straight away. And then going on to, if you want to age the animal, it needs to be refrigerated or if you're in the deeper south of the South Island and you're in a, you can hang the animals in a cool shed as long as it's not over 4 Celsius.
How long are you hanging and aging some species, though, Angelo? When you are wanting to get them to the optimum, should you age the bird first? And is it different between species?
Yeah, it does. It does vary between species. I mean, in the UK, they generally hang pheasants up for about 10-12 days. It has to be a cool, a very cool area, ideally not above 4 Celsius. And the age, what happens is the meat starts to break down and decompose. That's what's actually happening. And during that time, the meat becomes more tender and tenderizes. So it's a lot easier to eat. It's not as chewy. And the flavor becomes a bit more intense. So the longer you age it, as long as the temperature right and it's dry, there's no moisture there, you should, you know, it will become optimal. But I mean, you can age meat. I'd say venison. You know, some people age it up to 60 days. I personally age it up to a week to 2 weeks is more than suffice. And the outer layer, when the skin is off or the fur off, tend to dries out and becomes quite dry, but you can take that off with a knife and then you're into the raw, juicy.
There's so much leaner the game birds the difference between a duck that's been caught wild and one that's been commercially produced. The difference is just extraordinary in their leanness as well as their flavour. How do you cook the wild without drying it out, without overcooking it? What's the best tip?
Yeah, slow, long and slow. That's a really good tip. That's probably the one tip I would say is long and slow. And also you can add fat. So any fat you do get off the animal, you can add that to the process of cooking.
Duck fat, all draining the duck fat onto the veggies. Not to be done every night of the week, but damn, it's
potatoes.
good.
I mean, animal fat has been proven that it's not too bad for, as it's not bad for you. It's the combinations of other foods mixed in. So yeah, there's a lot of debate, a lot of talk about what fats are good and what fats are bad. I went on a carnivore diet for a whole month, which was interesting. I lost weight, I gained muscle, I felt my clarity was really clear. But then I got kidney stones, so I don't know if it was down to that or if it was just coincidence. But that was quite painful. But now I eat a lot more vegetables, and I suppose I'm on a plant-based diet. I eat meat as well as a lot of vegetables, but I'd say about 80%, 70 to 80% of my diet's vegetables, and then I add meat. What meat do I prefer? Wild, because wild is best at the end of the day, because it's not influenced by any other chemicals or antibiotics, which antibiotics are very bad for you.
Wonderful. The recipes are amazing in here, Angelo. It's the flavours, it's the
Thank you.
accompanying flavours, the spiced lime curry with paradise shell duck, the sweet and sticky paradise shell duck legs with cherry sauce. It's the
Yeah,
accompanying flavours
beautiful.
that have smashed it out of the park as well. Hey, thanks for your time. All the
Oh,
best.
cool. Thank you so much. Lovely talking to you. Take care.
Angelo Giorgiali, the latest initiative, the Fish and Game Cookbook, done in conjunction with Fish and Game. They're touring the country at the moment, he is, and you can find more details on the website.